Psalm 33, first of all. We'll just read the first five verses, and then Romans chapter 6 and one verse there. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And then turning over to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 13. Romans 6 and verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And may the Lord bless to our hearts these brief readings from his word. Let's just bow to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the note of praise in this service. And through the Lord, having been ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven, who like we thy praise should sing. We thank thee, our Father, that thou art a great God. We thank thee, O God, that Jesus Christ is a great Saviour. And we thank thee, our Father, for the blessing that thou dost give to us as the saints of God. And Father, we rejoice for the word that we heard this morning, that the devil is a frustrated and a defeated foe. And today, our Father, we pray that thou would help us to go forward in the victory of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant, O God, that each one of us who know thee would yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God, that we may bring forth that which glorifies thy great name. Our Father, we pray that thou would now close us in with thyself, take away every distracting thought of the world and its several problems, and Lord, focus our attention upon the things of God. And Father, we pray that every individual believer shall feel him or herself drawn nearer to the precious bleeding side of the Lord Jesus. And Father, should there be those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray it this night that thou wouldst draw them from the paths of sin to the Saviour's side. And Father, we pray it tonight thou wouldst save them by thy sovereign grace. O God, come and speak by thy power, because, Lord, it is thy presence that makes the feast. May we feast this night upon the good things of the Lord. Answer prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. But tonight I really have enjoyed the ministry of music, the singing, and all the instrumental pieces, and especially, as you'll hear in a moment, was I delighted to hear the violin solo that our brother brought to us. And to me, music has always been a fascinating subject. Now let me tell you right away, I cannot sing, and anybody who has heard me will testify to that fact. I'd love to be able to sing like our brother Gene here, but I can't sing. Neither can I play a musical instrument. I'd love to be able to do what some of you folks are able to do with your instruments. I cannot do that. And as far as reading music, well, when the notes go up the hill, I know you're supposed to go up. And when the notes go down the hill, well, I know you're supposed to go down. Nevertheless, I've always found music a very, very fascinating subject, because it's literally as old as the hills. It existed before people, because the Bible tells us of the morning stars singing together, recorded in the book of Job. And then the music exists outside people, because the psalm speaks of the singing of the birds, and Chronicles tells us of the very singing of the trees. I suppose that was the Lord's original woodwind section of his great orchestra, as the wind blows across the branches of the trees. And so I've always found it a fascinating subject, and especially the effect it has on people, because the basic notes, played with variations of order and tempo, they produce profound effects on people. Sometimes the music is sad, and you can feel the sadness in your heart as you listen to it. Sometimes the music is glad and happy, and you feel uplifted. And sometimes the music is triumphant, sometimes inspirational, sometimes it's calming, sometimes the music is unsettling. For example, Saul needed the music of David to calm him in his times of difficulty. And I always like Elisha, because Elisha had a different problem with King Jehoram, and he was so mad at him, he had a call for a minstrel to calm him down before he resumed his ministry. And so music does have a tremendous effect upon us. And in the psalm that we read, you may have noticed there that the Lord has told us we are to praise him with a harp and with a psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Now, over in Romans chapter 6, we read a verse there that tells us not to yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness, but rather instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, in the book of Romans, the word instrument there is a word that probably has a connotation with regard to implements and instruments of war. But if you look at the 3 Psalms where it mentions praising God with the 10-stringed instrument, you'll find that the praise and war goes together. And you'll find that as one occasion the children of Israel went out to battle in the days of Jehoshaphat, that they sang and God, he fought the war for them. And so you'll find that music and the instruments of music and instruments of war, they go together. And even this morning, our brother Dave was reminding us of the devil and the battle we have with him, and how that he is a frustrated and defeated foe. That's the war. But tonight I want to look at the other side, where we have the fact that there is a note of praise. There should be a note of praise in the heart of the believer as we go forth to serve the Lord. Now, the instrument of 10 strings that's mentioned in the Bible, nobody really knows what it looked like. Nobody really knows how it operated. And so tonight what I want to do is to take the violin that you saw played here tonight. I want you to take that as an illustration of how you and I ought to be instruments unto God to bring forth praise unto his name. And so we'll use the violin just as an illustration for the thoughts that I want to get over to you tonight. First of all, you have the production of the instrument, because the making of a musical instrument is a very exacting science. The violin, the modern violin, was designed by Amati, and then later on some of his family trained Stradivari, and they, in those days, very, very carefully shaped the violin to get the correct tone. And even with Stradivari, the very lacquer he used to cover the shell of the violin is of such a nature that even this modern computer age, they cannot match the tone that Stradivari got in one of his instruments at that time. So it's a very exacting science to make a good musical instrument. Now, it's a very exacting science that God has used to make you and me, because we are instruments in the hand of God, and the Bible tells us that he has made us in his image. And we should never forget that we are masterpieces of the creative power of God. Just a couple of weeks ago, my daughter had a little baby. That's our 7th grandchild. I know I don't look nearly old enough to have 7, but I do. And that little child, little baby girl born, just look at it. And it's so perfect. And look at the little fingers, they're so small. All the 5 fingers are the size of the tip of one of my fingers. And in those 5 fingers, little nails, every one of them its own little half moon that we have to keep putting the cuticle back to get there. And you look at them and you have to say with David that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the trouble is that so many people in this world, they stop thinking about the fact that we have come from the hand of God. They've lost the view of God. And because they lose the view of God, then as instruments, they bring forth a most unpleasant sound to Almighty God. We need to pray, Lord, thou hast made us, help us to bring forth that which is pleasing to thee and that which is glorifying to thee. So God has made us. And that brings the next question, why has he made us? And that brings us to the purpose of the instrument. Why did Amati and Stradivari make violins? They made them with one purpose in mind, and that was to make music. Now, I visited the home of one of your members here just a couple of days ago. I'm not sure whether she's here tonight. My eyesight's not good enough to find out if she is. But I went to her home, and there beside the fireplace was a violin. But the violin had no bridge, it had no strings. It was just there as an ornament. Now, that is the wrong use for a violin. Now, that dear girl, I'm sure she enjoys having her instrument there as an ornament, but it's not meant to be an ornament. It's meant to be an instrument to play music. And we are not meant to be ornaments in this world. We are brought into this world to bring forth music that will please the Almighty who made us. Not only did Amati and Stradivari make violins to make music, they made violins to make the very best of music. Because anybody could take a piece of board and string a few pieces of catgut and tighten them up a little bit and play, but the noise wouldn't be very good. They made instruments with a very exacting science to make good music. And brothers and sisters, the Lord has made us that we might bring forth good music that will glorify the Lord. I'm not talking about natural music. I'm talking about the music of our souls and our lives. Now, Bach said that the aim and final reason of all music should be nothing else but the glory of God and the refreshment of the Spirit. What is the main purpose of your life? What is the main purpose of my life? Our catechism ask the question, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So God has made us, and God has given us a purpose, and that purpose is to resound to His glory in a world that's filled with sin and iniquity, and we're called to sound His praises. The next thing I'd like to leave with you is the preparation of the instrument. Because a violin is naturally out of tune. When it is made and the violin maker strings the strings onto it, they're not in tune. A work has to be done. And you'll find if you have a good look at one of them there, you'll find the strings, they are anchored at both ends. Anchored at one end of the body, anchored at the other end. And that reminds me of something that the believer has an anchoring at both ends. Because we're anchored in this world, we are made in this world, we're creatures of this world, so there's an earthly aspect to us. But then for the believer, there's an anchoring at the other end. And the other end, of course, is the end of heaven where God exists and where God dwells. And between the two ends of the violin string, there is a most essential thing. And that is the bridge. Because without the bridge in the violin, you wouldn't have music at all. My friend, let me tell you, there's a man in this world today who sets himself up and he calls himself Pontifex Maximus, the great bridge. But my friend, no man on earth is the bridge between earth and heaven. The only bridge between earth and heaven is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never bring forth music that is well pleasing to God in heaven. And so tonight, the very first thing you must do is come and yield yourself to the Lord as the Savior of your soul and be born again of the Spirit of God. If you ever watch an orchestration, you go into the concert hall and you find the orchestra sitting there and they're practicing and tuning up. And you'll hear them, all the different instruments going, each one playing a little bit of their own. And as you listen to it, all you have is a cacophony, a noise. A noise that doesn't sound very good. But then in comes one man. And that one man is the concertmaster, the lead violinist. And as soon as he comes in, everybody else silences their work and they stop. And he takes his violin and with a bow, he plays just one note, A. And all the rest, they begin to tune in to that one note, you see. The violins, the orchestra has to tune in to a master note. And my friend, in life, we are to tune in to the master note of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are people come along and say, in this present world, and this is the song of the world today, I did it my way. My friend, that is the recipe for disaster, to live life your way. We are to tune in to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the master note. You see, you can imagine the violinist is sitting down in the orchestra and the lead violinist plays that A. And the man down here says, sir, you're not right. My A is not the same as your A. Would you please change your A to suit my A? And of course, you know, that would never happen. But yet there are people in the world who try to do that. They try to tell the Lord that he should change to suit them. And they want the Christian church, this message, to suit them in this day. But my friend, we are to tune in to the master note of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the Bible tells us of the 10-stringed instrument. And tonight I really enjoy listening to Ryan playing that solo piece, Hiding in Thee. His violin is sitting down there, not making any noise right now. That violin cannot tune itself. It's sitting there, it got a tune, it can't do a thing. It needs to have the master musician to come and tune it. And brethren and sisters, we cannot tune ourselves. We need to have the master musician himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and tune our lives. In the hymn that says, Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, that speaks there of chords or strings that were broken will vibrate once more. And so the strings in our lives broken by sin can be made anew by the Lord Jesus, and we can be prepared by him to bring forth that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Then you have the performance of the instrument, because in the violin you have four different strings. The high string, E. Then you have A and D and G getting successively lower. And they're there for a purpose. Ryan was telling me that you can get three octaves on one string. Now, if he was to come tonight and just play on one string and on one part of the string, wouldn't sound too good, and soon you'd get tired listening to it. But he has four strings, all those octaves, and really an infinite amount of movement up and down the strings, and so he brings forth that which is very, very pleasant to listen to. Now, in practical terms, the Lord plays different notes in our lives. You see, we are called into this world, and in this world, sometimes, we rejoice with great joy as the Lord would play the high notes of blessing. But sometimes in our lives, the Lord plays the low notes of sorrow and of trouble. And you wonder, Lord, why am I passing through this particular situation? Sometimes major keys are played by the Lord in our lives that make us happy, but sometimes the Lord also has to play the minor keys, the minor chords, and we wonder, Lord, what is happening? But the whole time the Lord is playing in our lives a symphony of praise to his great and glorious name. Now, did you notice that the Bible speaks of a 10-stringed instrument? Now, 10, the Bible, is the number of responsibility, man's responsibility. It reminds me that God has given to us in the moral law 10 commandments. First of all, no other gods but the Lord. Then, after that, we are to not to make graven images. We're not to take his name in vain. We're to honor his day. We're to honor our mothers and fathers. We're not to kill. We're not to commit adultery. We're not to steal. We're not to lie. We're not to covet. My friend, those strings have to be played. Is it possible in your life that one of those strings is missing? Is it possible one of those strings is out of tune? And so as the Lord would play our lives, there's something missing there. Or what about over in the book of Galatians, where you have the 9 strings of the fruit of the Spirit of God, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance? Are these things there in our lives? Is the Lord able to put His bow across our lives and bring forth the music of those various fruits of the Spirit? Are they there to be heard? Or are some of the strings missing? Are some of the strings out of tune? May God help us then to bring forth a symphony of praise. And to be able to say that all things work together for good. And whether it is in a happy time or in a sad time, we know that God has it in His hand. And He is doing that which is well-pleasing in His sight. The praise of the instrument. A very interesting fact that tonight I'm sure some people go up to Ryan and say, "Ryan, I really enjoyed your playing tonight." Or they may go to some of the other people, Joan and other people who were playing different instruments, "I enjoyed your music tonight." But did you ever hear anybody say, "That's a nice violin we heard tonight," or "That's a nice piano we heard tonight"? They never mention the instrument. It is the musician who gets the praise. And my friend, in our lives, it's just the same. We own instruments. Where can we take praise unto ourselves? We can't do it. It is the Lord who gets the praise and should get the praise and ought to get the praise. Because those instruments, that beautiful piano and these trombones and all these other violins, violas and flutes and so on, they're all lying there right now and they're useless by themselves. Absolutely useless, sitting there. When the musician takes them up, then they begin to do something. Because, you see, it needs the touch of the master's hand to bring the music out. You've probably heard the well-known poem, "The Auctioneer." I want to read it to you. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought that scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start bidding for me? $1, $1, then $2, only $2. $2, and who'll make it $3? $3 once, $3 twice, going for $3. But no, from the room far back, a grey-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust on the old violin, and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer with a voice that was quiet and low said, 'What am I bidding for the old violin?' And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who'll make it $2? $2,000, who'll make it $3? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone,' said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, 'We do not quite understand what change it's worth.' Swift came the reply, 'The touch of the master's hand.' And many a man with life out of tune, and battered and scarred with sin, is auction cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change it's wrought by the touch of the master's hand." Brethren and sisters, we need to pray, "Lord, take me in thy hand and use me as an instrument of thy glory." One final word, and that is the prayer of the instrument. These instruments along the front are not praying. They can't, because they are inanimate objects. But my friend, as instruments in the hands of God, we need to pray. And what we need to pray is, first of all, a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, thou hast made me, and I am thine. And just as a violin maker goes and takes different materials, takes wood and metal and all kinds of materials, and fashions from the natural materials an instrument of beauty and of glory, so God has redeemed us from the natural. He's mined us out of the pit of sin, and he's hewn us out, and he's fashioned us. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, we are his workmanship. And so God has made us. And there is a beauty about the craftsmanship of the great craftsman, the Lord himself. And so tonight we should thank the Lord that he's made us. We shouldn't have to ask why we're here. We're here as instruments of glory unto God. And so we should come with great thanksgiving unto him. And then we should pray, Lord, tune my soul. You see, in this generation, there are many, many people who have great ideas about how we can know spiritual revival. And I tell you, we need to see the hand of God moving in this generation. And you'll find people of this recipe, you pour in so many ingredients, stir them up, and revival comes out at the end. If somebody else has a series of instructions or principles, obey these principles and revival comes out at the end. But my friend, I think what we're needing to do is say, Lord, here I am. I'm like one of these instruments. In myself, I am nothing. I need thee, Lord, to take me up in thy hand. I need thee, Lord, to tune me to sing thy praise. I need thee, Lord, to take me in such a way that thy will be completely done in my life. We need to sing, Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. And then we need to pray, Lord, take thy bow. Take thy bow and run it over the strings of my life. Lord, I'm nothing. In myself I can do nothing. But Lord, take thy bow, run it over the strings of my life, and Lord, make there a symphony of praise that will glorify and exalt thy name, because the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. You know, somebody told me once that the human instrument closest to the human voice is the violin. Because it operates in the same principle. You have the strings, you have the voice, the air box, and so on. And so I heard a man once playing a violin, almost making it speak. Now I was thinking, as the Lord runs his bow across our lives, what should be heard? Nothing but the voice of the Lord himself. That is a tremendous title that the Lord Jesus Christ has, the Word of God. And that's why we're called today to preach the Word of God and to minister the Word of God to a dying world. And so we should pray, Lord, take thy bow and run it across the strings of my life, that thy word will be heard by a dying world. And the people will hear the Word of God in my life, and not only hear it, but they'll see it worked out in my life. And then to pray, Lord, Lord, exalt thy name. Lord, surprise even me with what you can do with a poor saved sinner. Oh God, take us up in your hand. Make me, Lord, to be an instrument of righteousness. Take up, Lord, an exceedingly ordinary instrument, and make it bring forth a sound that is well pleasing to heaven, and a sound that will reach those on earth who need to know something of the glory of the Lord Jesus. I remember waking up in the middle of the night one night, and having some wonderful times of prayer just in the middle of the night, as the psalmist talks about communing in his own soul in his bed, and just thought that, Lord, here I am, I'm nothing, but take me up in thy hand, tune me, and run thy bow over my life, that others may see that I have been to the Lord Jesus, not that I may be glorified, but that the master musician himself, the Lord Jesus, would be glorified in my life. Now, some of you people here are getting on in years. And I was speaking just to a senior citizen meeting just a few days ago. People all over the years, 70 years of age. And some of them wondering, Lord, can you use me? All my zeal of youth is gone and my body is not so strong as it once was. And Lord, can you really use me? I told them, there never has been a violin like a Stradivarius. It's old. You see, there's a depth there that newer models do not have. And the older Christian has a depth of Christian experience that young ones are only beginning to learn. They're just at the first pages of the manual. So never think that the Lord has cast you off because your years are going on. The Lord tells us that those that are planted in the house of God, they will bring forth fruit even in old age. And so may God help us, each one who know the Lord, to bring forth music to glorify His name. And may we pray, Lord, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, so the world may see the Lord Jesus Christ in you and in me. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy saving grace and the work that Thou art doing in the hearts of Thy people. And Lord, we are but very ordinary instruments. And yet, Lord, we rejoice in what can be accomplished by the touch of the Master's hand. And so, our Father, we'd spread ourselves before Thee in our weakness. We'd ask Thee, Lord, take us up and run Thy bow across us. And bring forth, Lord, a symphony of praise that will echo to the glory of Thy great name, because, Lord, Thou art a great God and worthy of our praise. And, Father, we pray that just as the violin needs to be tuned every day, O God, tune us, we pray, to bring forth praise to Thy name. So, our Father, take us in Thy hands, we pray, and grant, O God, that Thou would bring us into the place where Thou canst use it in the day of Thy power. O God, make us to be the people that, Lord, can receive the power of the Lord. And Father, we ask of Thee that Thou be pleased to send us a real shower of spiritual rain, that Thou would send us, Lord, a breath of revival. And Father, we pray that even as we fight the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, O God, help us like Jehoshaphat in his day to go forth with singing, because, Lord, we rejoice that the devil can do nothing with a Christian that's praising the Lord. Answer prayer and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen.